Please take your Bibles, turn to Hosea chapter 14 this evening. Hosea 14, we're going to be looking at verses 3 and 4. Have you ever struggled with something in your life and wondered, boy, why am I just not getting victory over this problem that I am experiencing in my life? We find the children of Israel had many struggles that they went through, constant backsliding, so to speak, that would arise in themselves, in the nation of Israel. They would, you look at the period of the judges where they would come to God. You know, God would save them. He would rescue them. But then after a period of time, again, they would back away from the Lord, and he'd have to send a nation to come and judge them. And in their despair, they would cry out to God, and God would bring them once again back to himself, or they would return to God. Many times as believers, we see things like that happening, and many times because true repentance has not taken place in our lives. And here we find in Hosea chapter 14 that there is true repentance that will come to the nation of Israel as they turn to God with all their hearts. But we find that it is not a one-sided repentance, just something maybe that they're trying to do, but it is a true work of God that takes place in their lives, in which their hearts truly turn back to the Lord once and for all. It says here in Hosea 14, verse 3, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Now here in verse 3, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless find mercy. Really, it's an expansion, so to speak, on what they say in verse 2. Remember verses 1 and 2, let's look at those. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. And here in verse number 3, we find that iniquity that they are asking the Lord to take away from them. And we find three problems here that Israel had as a nation in departing from God. The first issue that they needed to repent of was their reliance on human help instead of relying solely upon God. It says here in verse number 3, it says, Asher shall not save us. I believe Asher was the second son of Shem, and these people were known as the people that inhabited the land of Assyria. Okay, one of the nations that Israel would want to go to for help instead of turning to God was Asher, or the land of Assyria. If we go to Hosea chapter 5 and verse 13, notice what it says. It says, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, it says, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, or to Asher. Asher is another name for Assyria here. Went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. So we find here that Israel needed to repent of reliance upon human help instead of going to God to solve the issues that were in their lives. You know, we as just like the nation of Israel, many times want to go to human sources of help instead of going to God for the help that He can give to solve the issues that we are facing in our lives. I think here it's not just that they went to, you know, it's not talking about the fact that they went to godly counsel. All right, what would Assyria stand for? Well, Assyria was obviously the superpower, so to speak, of that day. All right, illustrating, here's somebody that looks like, boy, they can give us help. You know, imagine if you're in debt. You know, maybe you're $50,000 in the hole, and, you know, you're getting calls every day from maybe some creditor looking to, you know, collection agency, trying to get this money from you. And maybe you sit there and think, boy, you know, if I just knew, and, you know, if I was just a personal friend of, you know, Bill Gates or, you know, Warren Buffett or something like that, I wouldn't have these issues. I wouldn't have these problems in my life. You know, maybe if you'd learn how to spend your money, you wouldn't have the problems. But, you know, we think, well, if I just knew somebody like that, that could help me, I would be fine. You know, Israel thought a similar thing. If we could just, you know, get Assyria on our side, we wouldn't have to worry about any enemies because they're the strongest power that's out there. But who did they forget about? They forgot about God. And as they come in true repentance with their mouths, they say, Asher shall not save us. There had to be a change of mind here about the help that they were going to that was not going to aid them, but was going to bring upon them greater judgment. Notice Hosea chapter 7, what they did. Similar thing. Says Hosea 7:11, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. All right, so like a simple dove, one that is without understanding. What will they do? They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. All right, what do they do? Instead of going to God for help again, they go off to Assyria. All right, we can find help with Assyria, but God says, really, you lack understanding. You know, maybe to the intellectuals of the day, it would make sense. Hey, go to Assyria. I mean, they're the strongest power of the day. They're the ones that have the most military prowess. And hey, you want some help? Go to them. You know, they're the ones that can help you. You know, maybe it'd be like, countries today that, you know, want help. Well, let's call up America, see if they can, the United States of America. I mean, seems like, obviously, some of our, you know, the last 15, 20 years, we've weakened as a nation, unfortunately. But still, I mean, if a country needs help, who are they going to call up? Well, the United States of America. You know, it'd be kind of like that in a way. So let's go to Assyria. Let's see if they can help us. Now, obviously, Assyria didn't have the same background as the United States, and maybe they wouldn't be as willing to help, but they were the strong nation of the day. But God said, you are like a silly dove without heart. You don't have understanding. You're going to Assyria. Notice in Hosea chapter 8, verse 9, it says, for they are gone up to Assyria. It says, a wild ass alone by himself. All right, so it's like this, you know, wild donkey that, you know, he's going to do his own thing. He's going to, this is somewhat proverbial for someone that would, you know, just proverbial for one who was obstinate and want to do his own thing. They're going to go off by themselves. All right, that would be the one that would be open to attack. And God says, you are obstinate. You want to do your own thing. You want to go up to Assyria. But that is where actually the danger is going to lie. And as they come to true repentance here in the last chapter, it says, Asher, or Assyria, shall not save us. They have finally come to the realization with true repentance that human help is not going to be the thing that is going to solve the problems that they are facing. Now I wonder tonight, do you think that there's a person, there's somebody that can solve the issues that you have? You know, if I only knew this person, you know, maybe you think, you know, if we could just have that speaker in our church, you know, I would get right with God. You know, where's your help? Is it in a human person or is it in the Lord? You know, too often we become reliant upon people and forget that our reliance ought to be on God. And the children of Israel had to come to that point where they realized that Asher, that Assyria, was not going to solve their problems. Even though, humanly speaking, Assyria looked very powerful, looked like they had great resources, no, their help alone was found in God. But not only did they need to repent of their reliance on human help, but they also needed to repent of their reliance on human methods. It says here, first of all, Asher shall not save us, but then it says, we will not ride upon horses. All right, what was known in that day, what did they use in the military of that day? Well, horses. You know, a country that had lots of horses was probably a country that had a lot of power. A country that had few horses was probably a country that did not have much power. All right, so here, it says, we will not ride upon horses. We are not going to trust in what, humanly speaking, looks like will be that which will save us. So they are not going to ride upon horses. You know, sometimes, especially in today's society, we have become very reliant upon human methods to produce certain results. You know, maybe it's we got to get this latest book. You know, but if the only way you could ever come up with a particular truth was by reading a certain book, then maybe you didn't get that truth from the Bible. You know, if the only way you could come up with a certain truth is you had to read this certain book, and it wasn't the Bible, you know, then you might want to think, okay, is this a human method, or is this truly coming from God's Word? You know, the children of Israel had to come to the point where they realized that human methods is not what was going to save them from their problem. It was turning from their sin and going to God. You know, the mega church movement maybe could otherwise be stated, you know, how to build churches without God's power. You know, let's come up with our own methods of how we can build these churches without requiring God's power. Or maybe the psychology of the day, how to cover up your sin without having to deal with it. You know, we have human methods, but we don't want to turn to God for the help that He can only offer into truly dealing with what we have. In Psalm chapter 20, verses 7 through 8, we're reminded of the fact that horses or human methods is not what is going to save us. Psalms 20, verses 7 through 8 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. All right, these are the, you know, what they had of the military that day. Chariots, horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Notice verse 8. They are brought down and fallen, those that trusted in horses and chariots. But we are risen and stand upright. Now Israel needed to come to the realization that trusting in their own human methods to save them was going to do nothing for them if God was not on their side. In Psalm chapter 33, verses 17 through 19, similar truth. Psalm 33, verse 17. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. All right, so these human methods, when God is against you, will do nothing for you. Verse 18, what will help you? Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. You know, where is your reliance? Where is your trust this evening? Is there some human method that you've put your stake in, so to speak? You know, and you know, you've been sold, so to speak, on some salesman's pitch, and you think, boy, this is going to get me true success. You know, this is going to get me where I need to be. But it's not a truth that's found in God's word. You know, you can have the best system, you know, for making somebody make a decision. You know, but if that is not based off of truth from God's word, then you know what? It's a human method, and it's going to result in failure. Notice in 2 Kings chapter 18, as Rabshakeh came to the children of Israel and what he told them. Second Kings 18:22, looking at how horses and how this is something, you know, the outside world thought, hey, this would help. Verse 22, but if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altar is Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. All right, so from this, you know, what may have taken place? Well, we could maybe read into this some that Hezekiah did not have a great quantity of horses built up on the land. One of the things that the kings were not supposed to do was supposed to multiply horses. Well, why would they do? Why would God not want them to multiply horses? Well, if they multiplied horses, their dependence for victory would be based upon those horses rather than their dependence or their faith being in God. And so here Rabshakeh says, hey, I can give you 2,000 horses. You know, and somebody might have looked at that and say, whoa, man, we have these 2,000 horses, we'll be set. You know, but thankfully Hezekiah did not fall for this, you know, lie of Satan that he was speaking through this man. And he trusted in the Lord, and what did God do? Well, God defeated the army. And God delivered the children here of Judah. Proverbs 21:31. Says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, we shouldn't necessarily bypass things that God gives us for protection. You know, if you get in your car and you're going down the road and you choose not to put a seatbelt on because you said, well, I prayed for protection, well, obviously you are tempting God, so to speak, in that instance. Okay, the horse is prepared. There ought to be the proper preparations made, but ultimately our dependence is upon who? Is upon God. But safety is of the Lord. You know, this evening, are we trusting in human methods, in human works, or are we putting our trust in the Lord God of heaven, following His word, following His truth, realizing is that is what is going to bring true success in your family this evening. You know, the world has a lot of methods of how to raise your kids. Now, obviously, we'd be foolish to follow those because we look out in society today and see how those methods are working, and obviously, they're not working at all. It's terrible. But yet, people are still following them. You know, if they would just open up the Word of God and see what it has to say and follow God's truth, they would see true success in their families. And as believers, we need to realize that we can be easily deceived. I mean, look at the children of Israel. I mean, we can see it. We think, boy, why didn't they trust in God? Why didn't they turn to God? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you read through the kings of Israel, and you see how one king trusted God, he followed God, and God delivered the enemies into their hands. The kings that did what was right. Then you see these evil kings, and you see how God sent nations against them. And we wonder, boy, why don't the people just do what was right, and God would bless them? Well, look at our own lives. You know, why don't we just do what is right and follow God's plan so that we can see His ways worked out in our lives? So we find, you know, what worldly methods have you turned to, you know, in building your family? Maybe it's just let your kids experience it. You know, they're going to learn. You know, well, that's not the way, obviously, to raise your kids. You know, it says in Romans chapter 16, I would have you to be wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning evil, or innocent concerning evil. God wants us to rely upon His ways and His methods rather than turning to human methods. But the third thing that the children of Israel had to repent of was their reliance on self, or their reliance on self-erected gods. Notice what it says. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. All right, so neither will we say any more, notice, to the work of what? To the work of our hands, ye are our gods. Now, what do a lot of people out there want to say nowadays? That when we were out in New York City, Paul was talking to a man on the subway, and I was sitting right there next to, I don't know, either Paul or next to the man. And this man is going on about, you know, well, you have, I think it was with Paul, you have your way of believing, and I have, you know, my way of believing. And what's, you know, good for you is good for you. What's good for me is, you know, good for me. Well, you know, what are people doing nowadays? Well, they're setting up their own system of religion, so to speak. But ultimately, who becomes their authority? Well, it's themselves. And the children of Israel were making their own gods, choosing, so to speak, their own authority that they were going to submit to. And we have to remember what is a characteristic of the last days. People will keep to themselves teachers having itching ears, all right, wanting their ears to be tickled with what they want to hear rather instead of what God wants them to hear. And the children of Israel here had to repent of their reliance on these self-erected gods. Amen. You know, what were these self-erected gods going to do for them? Nothing good. Notice what it says here. For in thee the fatherless find mercy. All right, there is only one God that can grant mercy, and that is the God of heaven. You know, do we want mercy in our lives? We need it. The only one that we can gain it from is the God of heaven. You can turn to any other God, but the only thing you will find is bondage. But if you want mercy, you must turn to the God of heaven. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 4, notice how they turn to other authorities rather than to the God of heaven. Verse 3, it says, Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Notice, they set up their own gods. Do you have any self-erected authorities in your own life this evening? You know, there's probably, I would guess, no one here tonight that has, you know, an idol that they have formed out of their hands, you know, that they bow down to and worship every day. You know, but there may be something else that we have in our lives that is taking the place of God in our lives, where we're getting our direction, we're getting our motivation to do what we do from that object rather than getting it from God. So they had to repent of their reliance on these self-directed gods. They had to realize that there was only one God that could grant them mercy, and that was the God of heaven. So we have their response, so to speak, to God. But it's interesting, let's go to verse 4 and we'll see what God's response to them was. What God was going to do. See, it's in the book of Acts it says, God granted them what? Repentance. And here we find God really working this repentance through their life. You know, if somebody comes to salvation and they think, well, I have to do this, I have to do this, and I have to do this to get saved. Well, they're looking at it from a what? From a work standpoint. But here we find that God was going to work a work in their lives of true repentance. And you know, repentance is, yes, there is a human response to God. But we find here there must be a work of God that takes place. Verse number 4, it says, I will what? I will heal their backsliding. I will what? Love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. You know, remember verses 1 and 2. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. You know, if you're sitting there trying to say, boy, I don't like these sins in my life, so, you know, I want to stop those, but maybe there's this sin over here that you kind of like. Well, what did God say to say? Take away all iniquity. And notice the prayer here. Asking God to take it away. You know, obviously there's a human response here, but notice what it says. If they're requesting God to take away that iniquity. You know, so I think sometimes people maybe get a little confused about repentance because they start to think, well, in order for me to get saved, I need to stop this sin, and I need to stop this sin, and I need to stop this sin, and then I can get saved. Well, what's the real attitude of repentance? We see it here. Take away all iniquity. There is a change of mind about the sin. They don't want it anymore. All right? They want God to work in their lives. They want God to change them. All right? They realize what? Asher won't save us. All right? These horses, these human methods, they don't work. These human gods that we've turned to, it's worth nothing. And they cry out to God. All right? They don't have to sit there and say, okay, we got to stop this. We got to stop this. Now, obviously, the work of true repentance is those things stop. Okay, but repentance is not a work, so to speak, that we do. That we have to stop this and stop this and stop this. All right, it's a change of mind about our sin that results in a changed life. Okay, but we don't try to get that changed life, so now we have repentance. No, that real repentance leads to the changed life. All right, so it says, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. We don't want our sin. Take it from us, God. And what does God do? I will heal their backsliding. Notice that. It's not you working the cleansing in your life. What does God do? He cleanses you. He heals you. I will love them freely. All right? He will. There is a spontaneity to it. There is a abundance here of love. For mine anger is turned away from him. You know, it says in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, referring to God's love, it says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, how thankful we can be this evening for the love of God. You know that God does not give up on us. God loves us. And God loved the children of Israel. And as they responded to his demands upon them to turn to him in repentance, says, I will what? I will heal their backsliding. A nation that had been known for backsliding from God. God said, I will heal it. You know, tonight, God is a God that can heal your backsliding. If you will simply turn to him and ask him to take away all iniquity. He says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. You know, you may not like the results of your sin in your life. You know, but Israel as a nation was going to have to reap the result of that sin that they had committed against the God of heaven. Obviously, in salvation, we can be so thankful that Jesus Christ took upon himself the just payment that each one of us deserve for our sin. You know, as believers tonight, maybe there's a sin in our life. Maybe there is a reliance on some sort of human help instead of turning to God. Maybe there is a human method that we've been holding on to. You know, maybe there is some other authority that we have chosen to follow in our lives rather than follow God, because if we followed God, we knew it would require us to stop something that we're doing. Well, we can come to God tonight and he can heal us of that backsliding. But are we going to come to him in true repentance tonight? A true change of mind about our sin? Realizing what our sin is doing to us? And wanting that victory that only God can bring into our lives this evening? You know, maybe tonight you've just been, you know, sitting there thinking, boy, you know, maybe just compartmentalizing. You don't like this sin, but this one's not so bad. Well, you know what? Tonight you just need to get rid of it all. Not just hang on to some and want to get rid of others. Because eventually all that sin is going to reap the negative consequences in our lives. But thankfully, we have a God that loves us freely, that wants to heal us, that wants us to what? To return. What does it say? Verse 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You know, our sin will cause us to fall. But in God, we can have the victory this evening. You know, but it will take a work of God, a work of God in our lives. As we what? As we respond to what he has said for us to do. Do you believe tonight that God can set you free from that sin that you've been struggling with? He can. But you must go to him in true repentance. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We think of the hymn, Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, the example that we see tonight of the children of Israel, how they constantly, Lord, were backsliding. We're looking to other places to put their trust, their confidence, or other people, or human methods. But Lord, none of that worked. It was only you, O Lord, that could set them free from the bondage that they were in. And Lord, tonight, you as well want us to come to you with, Lord, not just some rote prayer, but with true words from our heart of real repentance. As we see the emptiness of the things that we have been living for. Lord, and as we see the healing that only your hand can bring upon our lives. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, is there an area of maybe reliance that you need to repent of this evening? Have you been trusting in thinking, boy, this person could really help me, instead of turning solely to God? Has there been some, you know, human method? Maybe you think with soul winning, you know, boy, if I just had the personality that this other person had, I could see somebody saved. Instead of looking for God's power. You know, maybe it's an area of authority, and you've been realizing you've been looking for peace and joy in something that you've erected in your life rather than looking to God alone. You know, the children of Israel were not going to be rescued from what they were in until they came to God, said, take away all iniquity. I wonder this evening, is the Lord working in your life, maybe in one of those areas? Maybe it's something else. But you say, you know, Pastor John, God's working in my life, and I see a working of repentance that needs to take place in my life as a Christian this evening so I can be set free to really serve God as He would want me to. Is there anyone like that tonight? All right, is there anyone else this evening the Lord's working in your life? All right. You put those hands down. You know, maybe tonight it's just something more simple. Maybe it's, you know, as a parent, you know, you think, man, it's like I'm trying to raise my kids the way the Word of God says, but it just doesn't seem to be working. And, you know, maybe you're going through a period of trial in your life right now, and you need to recommit yourself to God's way and not want to just kind of fall back on some human method, you know, they're all out there, worldly methods instead of God's Word. And tonight you need to recommit yourself to doing it God's way instead of trying to do it your way. Maybe tonight, I wonder tonight, is there anyone that would say, you know, Pastor John, my real problem tonight is that I've never been saved. And I need the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior, to realize where my sin is taking me, and to put my dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation that He's offering. Is there anyone like that tonight? Realize that they need salvation. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that, Lord, tonight we would see that, Lord, real repentance is not just something that we work up in our lives, Lord, but it is as we come in true submission, Lord, to your will and your plan, Lord, and allow you to work in our lives and to bring about that change, Lord, in our lives as we follow your leading. Lord, I pray that you would be with those that you have worked in their hearts. Lord, that you would grant them that victory this evening. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.